Good evening again. And this evening we're going to continue in John's Gospel, where we left off this morning. And we're in John chapter 1, beginning at verse 6. Please turn with me to John chapter 1 and verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Let's just look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank thee so much again for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, and they that follow him and believe on him will have their light, their path lighted by the glory of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think of the Apostle Paul, O Heavenly Father, who was on his way to Damascus, and that bright light shined before him. And he said, "Whom is it that I persecute?" And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "It's me that you persecute when you persecute the church." So, Heavenly Father, we just pray that you would help us as we look into your precious word here, and learn more about the light of the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We looked at this morning in the first five verses. In the fifth verse we saw that the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. But there was a man that was sent from God whose name was John. And that's the apostle, not the apostle John, but John the Baptist that he's referring to here. He says that the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. And what I'd like to do is we look at the apostle, John the Baptist. I'd like to look a little bit at other portions of Scripture in the book of Matthew and Mark, and look at a little bit of his testimony there, and a little bit in the Old Testament. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, this man that was sent from God, who is John, Matthew chapter 3, and beginning at verse 1. In those days, everybody find that okay? Good. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." And the same John, in his raiment of camel's hair, and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat or his food was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he saith unto them, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned thee to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." And what I think is interesting is you look at the book of Matthew, you see John the Baptist is immediately brought before us as one who is refuting the leaders of Israel. And we know that the book of Matthew, through our brother Tom's teaching, is the presentation of the king. And we know that they rejected the king. And we see John the Baptist immediately focusing his attention on the king and the people of the king, which is the people of Israel, and the leaders of Israel, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he says, "Think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children to Abraham." And what I'm trying to contrast here a little bit is that what you see in the, John's gospel is immediately you see that John is the witness of the light that comes into the world. And that's his emphasis. We have more, a lot more of John the Baptist in the Gospel of John, but he is very careful to present John the Baptist as the one who is the bearer or first witness of the light. And we see throughout the whole Gospel of John, there are many witnesses that present the Lord Jesus Christ. They either reject him or they receive him. But John the Baptist is a special case. John was one who was chosen by God. He's prophesied in the Old Testament to prepare the way of the Lord. Look also now in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. And I thought it was interesting that he immediately presents John the Baptist. Now, we know that Mark's Gospel presents us the servant, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's also no mention of any genealogy in the book of Mark, as there is none in the book of John. And that's for a purpose. If you have a servant, if you have a servant that's going to come into your home and do things, do you really need to know where he comes from? All you need to know is he's going to serve you. He's going to do what you tell him to do, and he's going to serve you. You don't need a genealogy. You don't need any credentials from that standpoint. But in Matthew, he's presented as the king, is he not? And as a king, he has to have a genealogy that presents him as the rightful heir to the throne. And in the book of Luke, we have a genealogy that presents the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of Man. He had to be a man. So we see the genealogy that goes all the way back to Adam, which presents our Lord Jesus Christ as man. But here we have Mark. He's no genealogy. But what do we have immediately? We have the one again who in the Old Testament is prophesied as the one to prepare the way of the Lord. And look what it says here in Mark. It's just interesting to see these different contrasts here. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." It's the same verse from the Old Testament. In verse 4, he says, "John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins." It sounds very similar to Matthew. And it says, "And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of a skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey, and preached, saying, There cometh one mightier than I, after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost." Verse 9, "And it came to pass." It just ends what he has to say about John here. But again, going back to John's gospel, the Lord presents him as the one who brings the light, or is the presenter of the light. He bore witness of the light. Turn with me to Malachi. It's the last book of the Old Testament, chapter 3 and verse 1. This is where it's prophesied that the messenger will be sent. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. Everybody find that okay? Okay. "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me." And he's speaking of John the Baptist here. John the Baptist is very important to the Lord. He was prepared by God to present the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the last prophet, if you will, of the Old Testament. And he was also the cousin, the physical cousin of our Lord. He was the son of Elizabeth, Mary's cousin. So we know that there's this closeness, and he was about 6 months older than our Lord. So we know that there's this closeness between him and the Lord. But he says there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. Turn with me back now to John's gospel. And let's look at John chapter 3. And again, we see John the Baptist here again. And beginning at verse 25. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond the Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not that Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, see, he considers himself here the friend of the bridegroom, and the bridegroom is our Lord Jesus Christ, and the bride is the church. The church hasn't really been presented yet, by John at least, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, and I must decrease. Realizing at this point in time that his ministry, his mission of God to be the prophet that was to bear the witness to the light that came into the world was going to eventually decrease, and that the Lord's ministry was going to increase. And he goes on to say, He that cometh from above is above all. Here he's stating that the Lord Jesus Christ came from above. He came from heaven. And the Lord testified to that many times as well. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. But he that cometh from heaven is above all. He was emphasizing the fact here that the Lord Jesus Christ was not earthly as we would think, because he was a man. But he was heavenly. He actually came from above and became a man. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. Then finally he says, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But what? The wrath of God continues to abide on him. The wrath of God abides on those that receive not the Lord Jesus Christ. The wrath of God is already abiding on them. That's very important, because John emphasizes this very clearly throughout the whole gospel. The wrath of God is on this world. And the only way to escape the wrath of God is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. But he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And this is the testimony of John, bearing witness of the light. We spoke this morning about the light and how it lights. And it goes on to say here that the witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. That's through our Lord Jesus Christ, those that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, we can reemphasize that verse again, and I don't think I can say it often enough. John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And in verse 8, we see that he was not that light. And I was wondering, what do you mean? Why does he insert that into the scripture here? And I think what he's trying to say is that John was very careful not to bring attention to himself. Never, ever did he bring attention to himself. And I think that explains to me why now he lived the way he lived. When you think of it, it's kind of a weird setup. I mean, he's got these weird clothes on. He's eating wild honey and locusts, and he's living out in a desert. And that speaks to my heart about how he really was not trying to draw attention to himself. We're going to see later on, too, that I think it's in verse 28 of chapter 1 in John's Gospel. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. John the Baptist was very careful, I think, to be in a place where it was not that easy to get to. It was on the other side of the Jordan. And You had to make some special effort to get there. And think about it, even the Pharisees that went to visit him had to make a special effort to go and visit him. So I think that he was really trying to focus in on not bringing attention to himself, but he was trying to bring attention to God. And of course, being the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was going to present the Lord as the Savior, the Messiah, the Lamb of God. We're going to see that further on through chapter 1. I think it's so beautiful that that he does that. It's an example to each one of us who are believers not to be drawing attention to ourselves. John the Baptist was careful to do that. But we see that he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. This bear witness of that light. I'd like to look at a few scriptures, I think, again, to help us to understand what he's trying to say here. Turn with me for a minute to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, it says that the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. And let me read verses 1 and 2. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Now turn with me to Matthew, Matthew's Gospel. These verses are quoted in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 16. We'll actually read for a little bit of connection here from verse 13. And leaving Nazareth, Matthew chapter 4, verse 13, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast and the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light. And to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. And from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And also turn with me to Luke chapter 1, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Luke chapter 1 and verse 79. But I love the text in this. This is the at the birth of John the Baptist. Let's read from verse 67 because I think this story is so blessed. From verse 1, chapter 1, verse 67. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, this is speaking of Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware by our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest. He's speaking of John the Baptist here. And thou, child, shall be the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet unto the way of peace. And the child grew, this is John the Baptist, and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the days of his showing unto Israel. I love this, just this testimony of Zacharias to his son, who is the prophet of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one to make the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think this is so important, because the Lord prepared the way for his son through the prophet John, the prophet John the Baptist, and he presented him so capably and so wonderfully. And he didn't draw attention to himself, but he gave all the attention to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was ready to step back when the Lord Jesus Christ was ready to begin his ministry. Turn with me now to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Again, speaking about the light that the John the Baptist gave witness to, chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling of the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. For if our gospel be hidden, it is hidden to them that are lost. If the gospel is something you don't understand this evening, it's because you are lost. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. The God of this world is none other than Satan, and he has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest what? The light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So we see here that John the Baptist was the first one to present that light. Jesus Christ, who himself was that light. And he says, as long as I am with you, I am that light. And we have the Holy Spirit that is the bearer of the light right now, who presents to us the truths of God. And he presents and convicts men of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And that's the Holy Spirit's work here on the earth right now. So he goes on to say, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus Christ. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. That same God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness at creation is the same God who hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Where? In the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a wonderful thing. The face of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world. He is the light of the world. And then from a practical standpoint, let's look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. This is our responsibility, those that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on in chapter 5, verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. We're not to be partakers with those that are sinful, and those that are not saved and don't live for the Lord Jesus Christ. For we were sometimes in darkness. When we were not saved, we were in that darkness. But now ye are light in the Lord. So therefore walk as children of light. We have a responsibility as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to walk now in that light and to not walk in darkness. We used to walk in darkness, but we don't walk in darkness anymore. So we see that in this paragraph here, we see that John the Baptist is the one that was sent by God. He was a witness of the light. And the reason why he was a witness of that light was that all men might believe. Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? Take the testimony of John the Baptist here, who is the one who bear witness of the light, so that all men might believe. Trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ will then present that light in our own lives so that we can bear witness of the light to others in the world. Turn with me back to John's Gospel again, chapter 1. Let's continue reading at verse 9. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That was the true light. In verse 9, and that true light is our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me again to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 49. And let's begin at, verse 1, chapter 49, verse 1. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me. And said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain, I have spent my strength for naught and in vain, yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with my God. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him through Israel, be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And in verse 6, and he said, It is a light thing that thou shouldst be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the ends of the earth. This is our Lord Jesus Christ, that he might be a light unto the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the ends of the earth. He says here in verse 9, this light that was to be a light unto the Gentiles and unto the nations, which lighteth every man. I think that cometh into the world. I think the thing here is he's talking about everybody. He's talking about Jews and Gentiles. Not just the Jews, but Gentiles as well. And in verse 10 he says, He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. He was in the world. And we saw earlier in the first paragraph that the world was made by him, but yet the world knew him not. What an amazing thought that God, the creator of the universe, who created the earth, who created all men, he came unto his own and they didn't even recognize him. And they knew him not. Turn with me for a moment to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. This is something I find very interesting, is that in verse 2 here, and it's something I want to study deeper, but in verse chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, it says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. I think this is especially important to emphasize here, that he was in the world, and yet the world was made by him. Now, he is the one who created all things, also made the worlds, But this phrase here just never hit me before as it did as I've been doing this study. And that is, he's the heir of all things. He's the heir of all things. And again, that's something I think that I need to study more deeply, but that he is the heir of all things. And I know that in Revelation chapter 5, we see the Lord Jesus taking the scroll. And it's my understanding is that if you study that more deeply, you find that that scroll is really the deed to the earth. He has authority over the earth. And he is the heir of all things in this world. And he is, as the rightful heir, he has the ability to sit on the throne because he is the king, the sovereign, the Lord of all. So we see in verse 11 that he came unto his own, but his own received him not. Turn with me back to Isaiah. I almost want to apologize for going back to Isaiah, but do we need to apologize for reading the Word of God? I think it's so precious, you know. I don't understand everything in the book of Isaiah, but the things that I do understand are precious to my heart. And as Isaiah chapter 53, I've heard quoted many times, and even some people here have memorized this chapter. But look what he says in verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him, and he was despised, and we esteemed him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He was despised. He was rejected. Do you think that that has any significance to this verse here, that he came unto his own received him not? This seems pretty easy sounding when you think about it, but when you look at Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3, the emphasis here was that he was rejected. He was rejected. Then he goes on to say here in verse 12 of John's Gospel, back to John's Gospel, chapter 1. He says here in verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power or the right to become what? The sons of God or the children of God. Even unto them that believe on his name. This is the whole emphasis of the Gospel of John, that we would believe on his son and receive him. And we're running out of time here. And in verse 13 he says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. We see three ways here that no one can receive the Lord. One, it says, which were born not of blood. Means you can't inherit it. Just because your parents might be a Christian or they believe in the Lord doesn't mean that you automatically become a believer in the Lord. Nor of the will of the flesh. Self-will can't save you. You can't just decide because I want to be a Christian. Okay. It just doesn't happen that way. You can't will it yourself to become a Christian. Nor of the will of man. And I was kind of guilty of that myself because being brought up as I was in the religion that I was, I thought that perhaps maybe I was a child of God because somebody sprinkled me with holy water and somebody baptized me when I was a little infant, and that I was involved with this church that had all kinds of rituals and rites that I had to follow. So the point is that because some other man says, I bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and blah, 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 that doesn't make you saved. Even in this sanctuary here where we have the baptismal, and somebody stands here and baptizes you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, that will not save you. But it says, but of God. That's how we're saved. We're saved of God. And let's turn for our closing verse for what I'm going to speak on this evening. In 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. This is how we're saved. This is how we're born again. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. By what? By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. May I say it again? It's the Word of God. And who's the Word? Who's the Word we talked about this morning? the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the living word. He is the word of God. Trusting in him, reading his word, his very essence of who he is all in this one book, our Lord Jesus Christ. That's who we're to believe on. That's what we're to trust in. We're not to trust in our family. We're not to trust in our self-will. We're not to trust in other men. But we're to trust in God. Trusting and believing in his precious word, which liveth and abideth forever. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. It's incorruptible. The word of God is incorruptible. And we can treasure it. It's our only authority. It's the only thing that we can believe on. Trusting in our Lord Jesus Christ.